Hi, it's Eva Cox with my latest contribution to more civil societies, we hope. And that includes the budget. I'm actually recording this a week before it's going to be delivered. And it's really one of those days that political tragics, like myself, get stuck on the whole idea of what is the government up to. It's very confusing at the moment. We've got a deep level and quite a justifiable level of distrust of the political process. And this year it seems to be more of a sort of jigging around trying to prove who you are or what you are than it usually is. And that's partly because we have an election coming up. But budgets are important because it's the evening when the Treasurer tells us all what they're intending to spend our money on in the next 12 months at least, plus some forward estimates. It's an important occasion for particularly, as I say, for political tragics like me, because if it's not in the budget, we know that it's not going to be there. Anything that costs the government or saves the government a substantial amount of money has to be specified in the budget. So those people that think, oh yes, I can just lobby the government and they'll fix things, have to remember this is actually a long process which starts in November of the previous year and locks government into what it says it's going to spend. It has a bit of discretionary funds, but the bulk of stuff there in the budget is also fixed because it's things like pensions and contracts and other sorts of expenses, salaries, public service salaries, other people's payments and various other things where there's no discretion. So there's a limited amount of money that governments can play with, but that's the stuff that we really do focus on because that gives us an indication of what they intend to do. And it's important to try and work that out, particularly since there's many mixed messages. We had a funny thing a couple of weeks ago when the News Limited people said, you know, this is going to be a Santa Claus budget. And the government rapidly denied it and said, no, we're not. But there are signs that it is going to be a generous budget. And that's not too surprising because we have an election coming up, at least one within the next 12 months and possibly one as soon as August, September, which is the first time that they can call one which will allow them to put the Senate election up at the same time as the House of Reps. And they're obviously getting rather alarmed about the fact that they're still behind in the polls, even though one of the polls showed a bit of an increase, but it was a bit of a dubious one. And also they're getting quite a lot of flack about what's happening with the banks and the various other big business things. And interestingly, big business is about to launch into a campaign to support the government's tax policies, particularly the ones going to give them some money. So it's an interesting question that if people actually see expensive ads on the TV promoting the fact that they will get a tax cut out of this government, that might actually count against the government, particularly if it's being promoted by exactly the same sort of people that have been ripping us off for quite some time. But I think we've got to really look seriously at what happens within that sort of budget process because there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't make it onto the agenda now. I mean, you used to have the sort of things about whether cigarettes and wine went up and those various things, and now most of that's sort of locked in. But the big issue is going to be tax cuts this time. They both admit it. We're a low-tax country. People tend to forget this. We're a rich country and a low-tax country, and the total amount of tax that becomes part of our gross domestic product is locked in, according to the government, about, I think, at 24.9% of it. In other words, a bit less than a quarter of what we spend goes into the provision of all of the public services we need. That puts us way below countries like the Scandinavian and most of the other European countries. It puts us fairly close to the USA, which is also a very low-tax country, even though a very rich one. And that's not a good thing if you actually want to see a country which has good public services and that takes care of its people in a way that's appropriate, because it means you're sort of bickering around the edges. And what's happening and what's being planned, certainly on the government side, is tax cuts. Not only the tax cuts that there's been a lot of fuss about for big business, but they're claiming that they're about to put in a series of personal income tax cuts because they reckon that we need personal income tax cuts. And you wonder, why do we need personal income tax cuts? Yes, we've got problems paying for things, but we've also got problems because many of the things we're paying for are things we shouldn't be paying for, shouldn't be paying as much for, like electricity and other prices. They used to be public services, remember, once upon a time? Just like the AMP used to be a a mutual. There were times when the whole potential for making profit out of those sorts of things was not seen as important. Now it is. So people are anxious about money, but getting small tax cuts of an extra $10 or $15 a week is not going to make such a difference. But the government is promising a series of tax cuts over a decade, so that the idea is you'll be bribed to actually keep voting for them so you get your next tax cut. The opposition is not promising tax cuts in that particular sense. It's actually talking about increasing taxes, particularly on better off and having a look at the way that there's a whole lot of tax avoidance type stuff. So they're coming up with a different version, which is we will increase the taxes on the rich so we'll have enough money to fund the services that we're not funding at the moment. But unfortunately, in neither of their discussions are they talking about some of the social issues, some of the problems that are having serious stories about them in the media, like lack of services for aged care, like over-expensive types of services in a whole lot of other areas where government should be assisting, like in the healthcare area where people are having to put out private money. All of those things which make people feel uncomfortable about money are not being dealt with. It's only being dealt with in terms of tax cuts, and that doesn't, as I say, help very much with them. So I think we've got to really start assessing what sort of things we expect from the government. And I do want people to actually remember that we do live in a society, not an economy. So when we're listening to what the Treasurer is saying, we don't have to listen, when you're looking at it, when you find the media reports on it the following day, have a look and see what they're doing for the really poor and disadvantaged, like people on Newstart, which even the Business Council says we ought to pay more money to. What are they doing about the services that aren't there for older people waiting for home care? What are they doing for funding more reasonable ways of dealing with healthcare and various other things so that people don't feel they've got to put out for private insurance because they're worried about not getting services? We seem to be only dealing with the fact that we want to actually give people more money to pay for things. It's what I keep calling the sort of Woolworth Coles attempt to sort of get you an election. Psst, you know, we'll give you an extra $10. Psst, you know, we'll cut another $15 off. People actually want to get a sense of security out of what government does. And one of the reasons we've got this high distrust of government is that people can't see the government doing anything. All they do is charge us more for toll roads, sell off all of our public services and various other things in order to be able to give us a small tax cut in some cases, or maybe in order to sort of increase some of the funding for some of the other sorts of services we hope. But if you're going to sit down and have a look at what happens in the budget, try and work it out not on the basis of how much cash you end up with in your pockets, but what you have to pay for, which we didn't have to pay for at one stage, and what makes you really feel insecure. Is it the amount of cash you've got, or is it the fact that you might be hit with a very large bill for something that you don't feel you should be paying for? I think that's what we've got to start thinking about. How do we actually create a bigger sense of security by pooling resources through the tax system and paying for good public sector services in those areas where competition doesn't actually work to reduce prices? That's the sort of stuff we should be seeing in a good budget. And I'm not too sure we're going to see it on either side this time. Watch out for it.